Gemara tells us that there are five things that happen on Tisha B'Av. Today is the ninth day of the month of Av. That's the Jewish month of, and we're in day. Actually, we're in day 10, because day 9 was Shabbos, and since we don't observe Tisha B'Av, a fast on Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. So we'll come back to that shortly. But five things happen going back to biblical times. The story of the spies, the Meraglim, that when Moses sent the Jews to check out the land of Israel, just to make sure everything's okay, and they came back with an evil report. And because of that, we had to wander in the desert for 40 years. So God says, you cry for no reason, I'll give you a reason to cry. Amen. And that was on the day, that was on Tisha B'Av. So that's the first thing that happened. The second thing, 586 BCE and 70 CE, was the destruction of the first temple by Nebuchadnezzar, that was the Babylonians, and the second temple by Titus, by the Romans. You bet, the Babylonians and the Romans. And then the destruction of Beitar. Beitar was one of the strongholds, the Bar Kokhba revolt, as we'll get to. People thought they were getting very excited. He was the Melech HaMashiach. He wanted to be, Rabbi Akiva thought at one point he was going to be the Messiah. Yeah. And then the fifth thing was Turnus Rufus, an evil, one of the evil Romans, he plowed the Temple Mount, the leftover. So we'll explain each one. So actually we say in benching, we have, you know, well, grace after meals, after we eat bread. So in the third blessing, we say, Ayisrael Amecha, Val Yushorayim Irecha, Val Tzio Mishkan Kvodecha, Val Malchus Beis Dove Mishkecha, Val Bayis HaGadol HaKadosh. So Rav Moshe Shapiro explains, we say these five things we mention in the benching every day. These would allude to the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. On Yisrael Amecha, the Jewish people on the land of Israel. That's what happened on with the spies. But we didn't get to enter the land of Israel. We had to travel first. Al Yishoayim on Jerusalem and the temple, that was the next two. And Al Malchus Beis Dovah Mishichecha, that's the Messiah. They thought Bar Kokhba, who was living in Beitar, was going to be the Messiah, but didn't work out well. And 10,000 Jews were killed in Beitar, terribly so. And the fifth one was when he turned his Rufus, plowed the side of the temple. Up until then, they thought, you know what? We see the ruins, the remains. We're going to rebuild this temple very soon. But after he turned it to a house, into a field, they knew it was going to be a long time, and we're still waiting. A long time for the next temple to be rebuilt. So we say that every day in benching, and our next blessing is, God, in your mercy, rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. That's the third blessing we make. So that's an allusion to the five things that happen on Tisha B'Av. And it's not just these five things, unfortunately. Tisha B'Av is the day we picked for all tragedies, that we read about the Crusades, the 10 martyrs, and even regular people. We went through terrible tragedies on this day of Tisha B'Av. In fact, when we read the Lamentations, it always talks about a widow crying, meaning Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, referred to as a widow. And in fact, the rabbis explain what's the day of Tisha B'Av today all about? Let's say a tragic situation. Someone, the happily married, they have a bunch of kids, and suddenly, with no warning, the husband drops dead and dies. The husband, the father, tragic. You have all these young kids around, a young mother, but of course she can't cry because she has to show her strength. If the kids see me crying, it will be terrible. So she holds in crying, and it's even more painful when you want to cry and you can't cry. It even hurts even more. And it's going on and on. She just can't take it anymore. So on the Yortzeit, the anniversary of the father husband's death, she calls all the kids in and says, you know what? This is the day, the tragic death of our father, and let's all cry together. And they finally get to cry. That's what Tisha B'Av is. All year round, we're holding it in. We can't cry because we have to survive. We're Jews in exile. You know, we don't have the open pogroms anymore and the Holocaust, but there are plenty of things going around. I think a soldier was just killed the other day. Synagogues being attacked. There are terrible tragedies happening. You know, pizza shops being blown up in Israel. We don't have to get graphic and all the terrible things that are still happening. And therefore, today is the day we get to cry over all the terrible tragedies that's happening now and also what's happening throughout Jewish history. And yet, we're not crying. So how come most people aren't crying on Tisha B'Av? And the answer is because in order not to cry all year round, we have to get in survival mode. And therefore, it's very hard because it says in the Talmud, one who calculates the exact date when the Messiah will come will not merit to greet the Messiah. Why? What's so bad about calculating the years? So they explain, if you're crying for the Messiah to come, you're praying for the Messiah to come, you're yearning, that's something you feel. The problem is when we intellectualize things, it's outside of us. Like, for instance, if we hear of a terrible tragedy, it does feel bad, but it's a stranger. We don't really know the person. If it's a close friend, relative, a brother, then we cry. And that's what Tisha is all about. We have to change it from all year round. It's an intellectual exercise. But on Tisha B'Av, we try to make it real. It's inward, like the Hasidish Rebbe from the town in Europe. A young couple came to the Rebbe and said, the rabbi and said, pray for us. We want to have kids. We don't have any children. The Rebbe prayed and he said, I'm sorry. I see there's a decree from heaven that you can't have kids. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Okay, they go back, down, depressed. And the next morning, ringing the doorbell is the Rebbe. The rabbi came to the house. But they said, you can't help us. He said, yeah, I can't help you, but I'm going to come and cry with you and feel your pain. You can't know, it's in God's hands what we do, what we can't do. But what we could do is we could feel another person's pain. And in fact, that's how they explain that what causes destruction of the first temple and what caused the destruction of the second temple. The first temple was the three cardinal sins, the three terrible sins that if a Jew is faced with, they have a choice, better to give up your life than to violate idol worship, to murder someone else, or to commit an adultery. It says the Jewish people were involved in the terrible three sins, and that's one of the reasons why the first temple was destroyed. And the second temple, why was that destroyed? Because the Jews couldn't get along with one another, unwarranted hatred. And so which one was worse? The Talmud asks, well, we know three cardinal sins, that must have been terrible, and it was. But yet, 70 years later, we started to rebuild the second temple. But for the destruction of the second temple, we're still waiting, thousands of years later. If the sin was unwarranted hatred, then as Rav Kook always used to like to say, so the cure is avas chinam. If you love someone for no reason, you go ahead and you be nice to people, even if you have no reason, even if you don't know the people. So, but how could it be that the three cardinal sins aren't as bad as hate, as unwarranted hatred? Of course, it's just as bad. But that's, a lot of times you get caught up in the culture and you can take on different ideas, but that's more external to you. Hate, unfortunately, is in you. And if you have hate for other people, that's something, then as the Jerusalem Talmud said, for the first temple, they lost the roof of the temple. But as long as everyone got along with one another, there was structure. When we no longer get along with one another, then the, not only did the roof go down, but the structure. So there are two tablets, as we all know. The famous joke, and then I'll give you the real reason. The famous joke of why there are two tablets. God came down to the different nations of the world and said, "You want the Ten Commandments? You want the ta-?" They said, "What's in it?" So they went through, "Well, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not..." So then he finally went to the Jewish people and they asked, "How much?" God said, "Free. We'll take two." That's the joke. But the real reason is as follows. There are two categories of commandments. We know there are commandments between man and God and commandments between man and man, woman and woman, interpersonal. And let's go over what the first one is belief in God, not to worship other gods, not to say God's name in vain, the only ritual in the Ten Commandments, keeping Shabbos. And the fifth one is honoring our parents. That's what Sholem Village's motto is. Honor one, Kabbalah Zavicha V'Esimecha. On the second side of the tablets, we have not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to kid them, not to steal, not to give false testimony, and not to covet someone's property, someone's wife. So we see, what are the two categories? So the first category is commandments between man and God. And the second side of the tablets is commandments between man and man, people. And so at first glance, honoring one's parents seems to be in the wrong spot. Because we know our parents are people. So it should be on the second side of the tablets. Why is it on the first side? And the answer is, it's a perfect transition. Because honoring parents are unique, because our parents are our creators also. We have three creators, mommy, daddy, and God. Not necessarily in that order, but we have three creators. And therefore, the first side has to do with commandments to our creator. So a perfect transition, but our parents are people also. So therefore, it's a perfect transition from one side of the tablets to the other side. And that's why, so we have the two tablets. So representing the two categories of commandments. So the first temple was destroyed because of commandments between man and God. So God has tolerance for that. 70 years later, okay, let's try it again. But the second temple was destroyed because you don't know how to treat each other properly. You don't know how to treat people properly. God has zero tolerance for that. And then he destroyed the temple, was still waiting for. So it was destroyed because commandments between man and God, and that's what they point out. Yerushalayim, the city Jerusalem, it comes from two names. It comes from the name Yirei Hashem, which is fear of God, and it comes from another name, Sholem. So it's named two, and we put it together, Yirei Sholem is Yerushalayim. So therefore, the Meshach Remeir Simcha HaKohen, who was actually killed by the Nazis, he pointed out, so if the destruction of Jerusalem, the first temple was because of commandments between man and God, and the second temple was destroyed because the commandments between people, man and man, the only way we're going to get Jerusalem rebuilt again is when we have both commandments between man and God, amen, amen. And that's why we're still waiting. So even though the three cardinal sins might be worse, but nevertheless, that was only the roof. The structure of Judaism is all about learning how to treat people better. And that's what they point out. We say on Shabbos, we sing Shir Hamalos before we bench. So we say at the end, Hazorim Bedima. We sow with tears. But Barina Yixoro, if we sow with tears, if we feel the pain of others, and we feel the pain that we lost the temple and all the terrible suffering, then it will be Barina Yixoro. Then we will reap in joy. And that's what Tisha B'Av is that anniversary. It's the Yortzeit. It's the day that we could take it from the intellectual and move it to the personal. And therefore, that's why he said it's the one day we're given on the calendar that we could go ahead and cry. And crying doesn't necessarily mean crying meaning like tears. Everyone cries differently. It could be you know, it could be an internal cry as well. And in fact, there's a famous statement from the Kutzker Rebbe, also, you know, one of the great famous Rebbes. He said once, and it resonates so much, he says, "There is no place lonelier than a room full of people." What does he mean? It sounds very ironic, but how true it is. You walk into a wedding, a bar mitzvah, everyone's eating, dancing, singing. Who would think loneliness is even possible in this room? But if you're a stranger in a room, if you feel unknown, unseen, that could be a desert island. And it could be walking into a synagogue, walking into a big party, that you walk in and you could have thousands of people. If no one comes over to say good Shabbos to you, and you feel no one cares about you, that's the worst feeling in the world. There's a difference to be alone and a difference to be loneliness. In other words, because we know loneliness is possibly one of the most painful human experiences. Loneliness is not the same as being alone. Many people have times, you know, you want to kick back, you want to go back to, you want to be alone. When you choose to be alone, whether you want to go come walk down to the synagogue, open up a prayer book and just pray by yourself, you want to go, you just want to like go back in your room and relax, that's a good alone, like, it's good, because on one hand, Bilaam's blessing to the Jewish people, you're a separate people, you're going to be alone. That was a blessing, but in Eichel we read, it's terrible you're sitting alone. So the different, if you're alone not by choice, then you're lonely, that's not good. But if you choose, in other words, if you have a connection, so then you're not alone. People could be studying, people could be praying all day in synagogue and be by themselves, but you're connecting to God, you have a connection. When a person doesn't feel connected to anyone or anything, that's to be lonely is the worst feeling in the world. And it can happen to anyone. How do I know? Because it happened to Moses. In this week's Parsha, with this read in Devarim, we read, he says, "Eicha, how can I carry your burdens?" Oh, Moshe is saying, I can't carry my burdens alone. And in Eicha, we read last night, how could Jerusalem sit alone? So the Vilna Gaon says that if Moshe Rabbeinu could feel alone, the greatest prophet, the greatest leader of all time, and Jerusalem, the greatest city of all time, that's what the Vilna Gaon says, that is the essence of our national tragedy when we're alone. Moses and Jerusalem were reflections of the condition of the Jewish people. Moshe was a lonely person and Jerusalem was a lonely city. Our people became isolated. And as we said, the answer is there's no place lonely in a room full of people. On Tisha B'Av that we have to reconcile that sin and we have to make sure we go over. In fact, on Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning. In the morning we sat on the floor, like when you sit Shiva, you sit, and it's so interesting, one of the laws on Tisha B'Av is like a law of, you're not supposed to go to a mourner and say, "How's it going?" Like, what do you mean, how do you think it's going? I just lost my mother, I just lost my father, or I just lost my brother, whoever, my husband, whoever it was. So, you know, you're supposed to walk in, it's easier said than done, but you're supposed to wait for the avel to talk, and maybe this one, you know, your being there is enough, your presence. So too, there is halacha on Tisha B'Av as well, that on there's a day of mourning, there's a concept, you know, not to overly greet someone more, because how am I doing? How do you think I'm doing? I lost the two temples, the beta, this, you know, we could go list off 25 terrible things that happened. So it seems very strange then, if I just explained that the reason for this destruction of the temple was because people weren't nice to one another. They didn't go over in shul and say good Shabbos or say hello, or you're walking in the hall holding the door for someone, just putting a smile on your face. If that was the sin, so we should say on Tisha B'Av you should be going around saying hello to everybody. That should be. So why is it specifically on Tisha B'Av we try to minimize that? So the answer is, I don't know that much about computers either. When I have a real problem, I go to an expert, but I'll tell you a little secret. This is like, a secret of being a doctor is basically you tell the person, go back, get some rest, drink more, and then if it's still hurting, come back to me. Usually it goes away. So one of the tricks of computers is if you just shut off the I don't mean if you have a real problem, you got to get it fixed. But it's freezing, you shut it off, you reset, and then it comes back on. So too, that's what Tisha B'Av, it's a reset, that we have to think about how we could do better. How could we be nicer to people? We have to work on our greetings. We have to work on, am I noticing someone's alone at the table? Maybe during dinner going over, maybe you want to join us or just go over and speak to someone. It's the little things that count. That's true greatness. As we see that the Talmud has a story with Rav Yossi ben Kisma, one of the great rabbis, and he went to visit and he was ill. So one of the rabbis went to visit him, and they were talking for a while, and one of them asked, they said, am I going to reward in the world to come? So he said, so tell me something you did. I don't know. So this is a guy who risked his life to teach Torah publicly during the Romans' persecution. But that's not what he said. When they asked him, tell me something, he said, you know what? It was Purim, I remember. On Purim, we have a mitzvah of hearing the Megillah, eating Hamantaschen, of course, and on the chocolate ones, and the poppies, depending which one you go for, or the raw dough or the other dough, but I won't talk about it since it's Tisha B'Av. So one of the mitzvahs is we have a mitzvah of giving matanas v'avyonim, gifts to the poor and shaloch manas. So he said, one time on Purim, there were a couple of dollars lying down, and I wasn't sure if it belonged in the charity box or not. You know what? I put all $2 into the tzedakah box. That's what he said. So the rabbi said, well, you did that? Wow. May my lot be like your lot. I can't wait for the reward you're going to get in the next world. So the question is, I don't get it. This person risked his life to teach Torah to the Jews, yet he gave a seemingly trivial example of one time I mixed up some money. Because as many times in life, when big things happen, we rise above the situation. But it doesn't really show our true nature. It's on the everyday things. It's the little things that show our true nature. And therefore, on that type of thing, that was revealed. As we say, one who says, Hallel, we say when we have a special miracle, a special holiday. Hallel, we say, one who says Hallel every day, the Talmud says, it's not a good thing. It's like you're making fun of God. You're blasphemy. Yet the same Talmud says, if I say Ashrei three times a day, I'm the greatest. The last I checked, they both come from the same book, the book of Tehillim, Psalms. So how can it be? So I don't get it. Am I great by saying these things in Psalms, or am I not good? So the answer is, Rav Meir Simcha Cohen, again, the one who was killed by the Nazis, he points out, no, because Hallel, when does one say Hallel? When a miracle happens, when God, you're good as your last at bat. When you do another miracle for me, then get back to me, and then I'm interested. One who only sees God in miracles, not a good thing. That person is blasphemy. But what is Ashrei? It's in the form of Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, A, B, C, D, E. One who sees God in the everyday things, thank God, I woke up, I'm alive today, I have 2 feet, as it says in Pirkei Avos, who is the wealthy person? Hasameach b'chelko, one who's satisfied with his lap. What is Ashir? Literally means rich, but it stands for the Ayin, stands for Einayim, eyes. The Shin stands for Shinayim, teeth, mouth. Yud stands for Yadayim. Rei stands for Raglayim. Who's the happy person? One who appreciates having arms, legs, eyes, and a mouth. If you appreciate the basic things we have with animals, then we'll appreciate everything else we have. And all year round, we're not supposed to focus on what we don't have, we're supposed to focus on what we do have. But as the Rabbi Tursky pointed out, Tisha B'Av is the opposite. We want to focus on what we don't have, i.e. the temple and Jerusalem back in its glory. And that's the one day we change our focus and we look for that. And that's why Tisha B'Av is the It's the Yortzeit. It's the one time we get to cry over all that could be. We don't. Jews in exile don't have much time to cry and look back. We can't afford to. But the one day we have on Tisha B'Av, it's a day of tears, of growing back. And that's why we say at the end that, you know, hopefully this will be our last day of saying kinos and lamentations, that we're going to say the kinos. And because, and ironically, because we have a custom in the morning of sitting on the ground, and after midday, around 1:25 today, you get to sit on chairs. So that's a very, besides the technical part, it's very powerful. What's the message that, because what does it say about a righteous person? Seven times he falls, but he picks himself up. It doesn't mean seven literally. What's the difference between a successful person and an unsuccessful person? Someone who falls, you stay down, okay, that's it, it's over, I can't. You pick the quality of a Jew is you fall and you pick yourself up again, no matter how many times. And that's what we're saying. Symbolically, we're sitting on the floor. Tisha B'Av is a terrible time, but we don't stay down. We get up at midday, and we hope this will be our last Tisha B'Av. We go up and do. In fact, what's interesting is, really, we generally observe Tisha B'Av on the ninth day. Today happens to be the 10th day. In fact, I know there are many fans of Rebbe. Rebbe, the one who wrote the Mishnah, Rebbe said that if it was up to me, when Tisha B'Av was pushed off the day of, when it falls down on Shabbos and you can't fit, I push it off altogether. Too bad they didn't listen to him. I'd be eating now. But on the other hand, Rav Yochanan wrote that if I was there, he wasn't, I would have picked the 10th day of Av to be the day of Tisha B'Av, not the 9th of Av. Today we happen to get the 10th. Why? Because it's factual. Everyone agrees the majority of the temple was destroyed today. As we talk, the 10th day of Av, the majority, so the question is, so why did we pick the 9th day? Why do we always fast on the 9th of Av, generally not the 10th? And because the beginning of the tragedies are always worse. As we know, kol hascholos kashos, the beginnings are always hard. And in fact, it's interesting to note that as the day goes on, as now I'm sitting on the chair, I'm going to go, at 8 o'clock, I'm going to go to synagogue, I'm going to put on my talis and tefillin. In the morning, we didn't pray, we didn't put on. As the day goes on, we seem to lighten our morning. It doesn't make any sense. The temple was burned now, it should be getting worse and worse. And the answer is no, because as God says, as we say in Tehillim, that people didn't know, people were afraid God was going to destroy the Jewish people. And the 9th of Av, as ironic as it sounds, when he saw the temple being destroyed, and not us, not the Jewish people, that was a tremendous comfort, because it sticks and stones, we'll build another temple. But he gave us another option. And that's why the worst part, once the Jewish people saw the temple was burning, so to speak, thank God it's not us, it's only the temple. And therefore, as the day goes on, it's more of a nechama, because we realize that that through prayer and doing good deeds, we're going to end up rebuilding and getting a third temple that's going to last forever. And that's why Tisha B'Av is also known as a moed. We don't say tach, we don't do things on, because tradition, the Mashiach ben David was born on this day, but ultimately we know that Tisha B'Av is going to end up being a yom tov, a holiday. And therefore, that's what we all pray and hope, that we'll continue through taking our reset, praying on Tisha B'Av, and thinking about how we can become better and help our fellow residents, fellow people all around, that if we do, you know, if we pray and do our actions properly, we'll merit to the building of the third temple. David.
Does that mean that...